Me, Quentin Wine, the Prince Edward Master Gardener Group. Welcome, Quentin.
Thank you, Krista. As always, Prince Edward County Master Gardener Group are so grateful and pleased to have this opportunity to give to our community. And I'd like to remind everyone that they can always have their gardening questions answered by contacting us via our website at pecmastergardeners.ca or through our Facebook page, Prince Edward County Master Gardeners.
So our topic for today is mycorrhiza. Did I say it right?
You certainly did.
Oh, good. Seems like I've heard a lot more and more about mycorrhiza recently. Is this something new?
You know, as a person who grows truffles for a living, it's my favorite topic, and I could talk about it all day. But it's a little involved, but I'll try to give you just enough information for your listeners to get an idea of what it's all about. The term mycorrhiza is developed from the Greek words myco, meaning fungus, and rhiza, meaning root. It was first used by Albert Bernard Frank, a German botanist who originated the term in 1885. So his theories and observations describe two different organisms combining to form a single physical structure, a fungus root. And mycorrhiza are the structures used by fungi to establish a symbiotic association between themselves and plants.
So not so new, but why in the news?
Well, as research is progressing, you know, in biology, and we now know that mycorrhizal networks provide widespread structures in which fungi and hosts rely on each other for nutrition. Our ability to conduct this research has expanded recently with advances in genetics and our understanding of plant biology, structures, and processes. It's also become important to understand how soil ecosystems work, as many plant and tree species are increasingly affected by both man-made and natural factors.
So why the need for an interaction? Why didn't plants evolve to do this on their own?
From a food chain perspective, fungi are decomposers while plants are producers. And we know that fungi are neither an animal or a plant and digest food before they uptake nutrients. So while plants don't digest food at all and only uptake mineral elements, fungi and plants use each other to survive more efficiently together.
So what exactly do fungi and plants get out of this partnership?
The fungi extracts nutritional value from minerals and decaying organic matter in the soil in the form of carbohydrates, vitamins, amino acids, and other plant growth substances. By coming into direct contact with the plant's fine root systems, the fungi and plant together transfer them to the tree host or the plant host. In return, the plant or tree provides the fungi with carbohydrates in the form of sugar. It's estimated that up to 30% of the sugar that trees photosynthesize from sunlight can be shared that way.
Are there any other benefits other than a food-based exchange between plants and fungi?
Yes, mycorrhizae can also increase the overall surface area of the plant's fine roots and therefore increase their ability to absorb minerals and nutrients and, more importantly, water. They can also form a barrier between the fine roots and certain contaminants that might be in the soil.
Speaking of the contaminants, how is this relationship affected by pests in the soil?
So mycorrhizae can help the plant to overcome both pests in the soil, such as bacteria and viruses, and also stressors such as localized salinity in the soil or salt.
What else going on in the soil that influences this relationship?
Well, more recent research suggests that certain bacteria in the root zones can improve the function of the mycorrhizal symbiosis, this relationship, by increasing the nutrient availability or assisting in protecting the plant soil against pathogen. So what that means is that there is not only the plant and the mycorrhizae at work, but also the bacteria that are present in the root zone where this association is taking place.
So with such a tremendous variety of plants, is there a similar variety of mycorrhiza?
In a sense, yes. The mycorrhizae are a structure of certain fungi, and yes, the fungi kingdom is huge, and it's growing as we discover new species. There are different types of mycorrhizae, and these can be distinguished by their form and structure, and to a certain extent by their function. So generally, about 80% of all plants and trees associate with vascular or arbuscular mycorrhizae. I know that's kind of technical, but which those kinds of mycorrhizae actually penetrate the root system, the cortex of the root. The other 20% are ectomycorrhizae that live on the surface of the root or around the epidermal cells of the root, and that includes most mushrooms. It's important to know that your plant needs to have the right kind of mycorrhizae to associate with it in order to benefit from that association.
I'm a little scared to say this, but I've recently heard about trees talking to one another. Does this have anything to do with that?
It certainly does. You know, I first heard of this myself at a conference relating to mycorrhizae, where I was surprised to find an anthropologist giving a presentation. Of course, anthropologists study societies. Ecologist Suzanne Simard is a professor of forest ecology at the University of British Columbia. And she described research in which a Douglas fir that had been injured by insects appeared to send chemical warning signals to a ponderosa pine growing nearby. So that pine tree then produced defense enzymes to protect itself against the insect. So additional research has shown that trees are able to share nutrients at critical times to help each other stay healthy by communicating what's going on in their environment. So Dr. Simard says that trees in a forest are often linked to each other via an older tree she calls a mother or a hub tree. Apparently, they don't talk about threats only, but also share information that enables each tree to grow more efficiently. So this research has shown that this information is also passed between trees of different species. And, you know, that information can be thought of as discussions that are being transmitted through the mycorrhizal networks. Fascinating stuff.
It sure is. Are there any benefits that humans can derive from these mycorrhizal associations?
There sure are. Improving the health of trees and forests is, of course, generally beneficial to our ecosystems, in which plants and trees are so important. We can assist plants and trees to grow healthier by introducing mycorrhizae to help them grow more efficiently. We can also introduce plants that are inoculated with mycorrhizae to encourage growth where known stressors such as drought and salinity are making it difficult for other plants. Of course, the growing of truffles, which is very near to my heart since I grow truffle, is accomplished by growing a tree that is well colonized by truffle mycorrhizae, and the truffle is the fruiting body of a fungi. The truffles we love to eat are the fruiting bodies of the truffle fungi that results.
So what does all this mean to the average gardener?
You can buy mycorrhizae at any garden store or even on Amazon, but there is a disconnect between the claims and the expectations about introducing them. There are going to be mycorrhizae present in almost all soil, and the chances are a gardener already has them in use. Adding more won't necessarily improve the growth or health of your plants. Also, not all mycorrhizal products are the same. It's estimated that about half the retail products available contain no viable inoculum or spores in the mixture. So the spores of mycorrhizae have poor germination viability and don't last long on the shelf, although some products contain hyphae as well as spores, and these might last a little longer. So even though these products are out there, they may not associate with your plants once you use them. If you do want to go that way, almost any garden store will carry some kind of mycorrhiza spores that are suspended in either a dry powder or a liquid form, and you simply follow the directions on the product label, usually adding it to the soil when you're planting, and some can be introduced after plant. It's likely a better approach to incorporate wood chips, woody debris, and decomposing organic material into the soil around trees and plants when you're planting them to simulate the natural deadfall that you would get in a forest. Fungi thrive on these natural additives. They're decomposers, so their mycorrhizae will definitely find their own way to your plants if you have that kind of material present in your soil. You shouldn't just be surprised if you happen to get mushrooms showing up in your lawn.
Oh,
well,
that happens. Well, right. Thank you so much, Quentin, for speaking with us today. That was a very interesting topic.
My pleasure. I'm sorry it was so technical, but
no, that's okay.
There you go.
It's a technical
All
thing.
Right.
I'm Krista Hepburn. I've been speaking with Quentin Wine, Master Gardener, on County Grows at 99.3 County FM, the voice of the